Arboreal creatures are built to get around in trees. And in the rainforest, that's an extremely helpful adaptation. But what if you're so great at getting around the branches that you're no good on the ground? The Kalugo is in such a predicament. When you can't go down, you have to figure out a better way to stay up. Keeping your chin up and your eyes on the prize is a great way to make it in life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy, your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons, to Jesse Raspolich, Carol Raspolich, Richard Kaspar, Lottie and Aubrey, Gray Hughes, and Wednesday Rabbit. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on.
And today we're talking about a bug-eyed pseudobird, but more on that later.
Yeah, we are talking about the Sunda flying lemur, which is a kind of colugo. When you put colugo on the list, I was like, that sounds like a delicious drink. I will take a Kalugo on the rocks.
It does sound like that, yeah.
But no, our Kalugos are gliding mammals, which we'll tell you a little bit about how we're about to taxonomize.
I think a lot of people are still like, "What the heck is this thing?" I guess a lemur makes you think like of a certain thing.
So. It's a flying lemur. So you got it. End of story. But we're going to call it, it's also known as the Malayan flying lemur or the Malayan colugo. But we're going to call it here the furry frisbee and the Tuftwaffe.
That's good.
Sorry, I'm just knee deep in World War podcasts.
Tuftwaffe is funny because it's a flying machine. But also, like, I'm thinking tuft of hair. Like, it's a furry flying machine.
That's exactly what I was going
Perfection.
For. Thank
Perfection.
You.
Perfection.
But let's taxonomize this. Let's do this one a solid science. It's in a kingdom you know, love, and are in. That kingdom is Animalia, the phylum. Chordata. Class, Mammalia. Like I said, colugos are flying or gliding mammals. The superorder is Euarchontoglaries.
I am.
Euarchontoglaries.
No, I'm Euarchon. I'm Contoglaries. No, I'm Contoglaries.
I am Contoglaries. The order is Dermoptera. Dermoptera, maybe. The family is Cynocephalidae. The genus is Galeopteris. And the species is Variegatus. So, Galeopteris, Variegatus. Variegatus. The I and the E. I got to remember to pronounce it like it. Like, each vowel has its own, is pronounced in Latin. Like in English, it's that French influence. French just took all of our vowel pronunciation, threw it out the window. But since we're in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show: critter groups. The part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that question is the same every time. What is the name of a group of this animal, or what is the term of venery, or what is the collective noun? We have one for colugos.
Okay.
If you saw a group of colugos after your wonder and merriment has subsided, would you Then report to your friends that you had seen A, an allocation of Kalugos, B, a branch of Kalugos, C, a conspiracy of Kalugos, or D, a distance of Kalugos.
Kalugos. Oh, I would love for it to be an allocation. All right, here's your allotment of flying lemurs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vermin Supreme.
I gotta go with the, what is it, the conspiracy?
Is that your final answer?
It's probably Branch. Let's go with Branch, final answer.
Ah, you should have gone with your gut.
Conspiracy?
The correct answer is conspiracy.
Yeah, well, the nonsense people that make up these probably would prioritize something like alliteration over sense. A branch
that
makes
sense.
That
sounds like a conspiracy.
But a conspiracy, yeah. A conspiracy is... Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I'll allow it. I hate it.
I mean...
But I expect it.
I would go with like a flight or a squadron, maybe. Something that indicates what they do best.
Mm-hmm.
But... Whatever, they didn't ask me. Let's talk about what this guy looks like. It actually doesn't look that much like a lemur. It looks a lot more like a flying squirrel.
Yeah.
It looks like if you threw a blanket on a stoat and he was struggling to get out of it. He's got a little mousy face, super tiny rounded ears, giant Disney princess eyes. Brownish gray fur with these white blotches, sometimes kind of like a reddish brown fur. Has long limbs with these spindly bat fingers. And then it has this skin membrane that's stretched over its entire body, or like, at least between its forelimbs and back limbs.
Like butter over too much bread.
Yeah, it needs a holiday, a very long holiday, and he doesn't know if he's going to return. In fact, he means not to. this skin is called a... it's either a patagium or patagium. I want to say patagium,
this
but that
is,
just sounds better.
This is my stuff. The flight.
Okay. Okay. Do you want... So you don't want me to describe the stretchiness?
No. No.
Okay. So then it just looks like a squirrel.
Yeah, you can.
It is adorable, though.
You might be able to
jump
in with the stretchiness later on. Okay.
But it is. It's bigger than a squirrel, that's for sure.
Oh.
But how
would
much
you like to know how big?
Yes. Sure.
The welcome to the Love Measure Up segment, the official listener's favorite part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal size dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also the part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. I teed up like some animals to listen to. And I was really excited about it, but I just remembered something I'm more excited about, which is that we do have a new Measure Up intro this week.
Yes. I'm always waiting with bated breath to see if we got one.
Okay. I have not listened to this.
This is just going to be a bunch of profanity.
No. You know why? Because this is from Chanel, who has
sent
us stuff before.
Chanel's a class act.
And... I'm seeing here her like in the email, her icon has populated and I can see what her icon is, and it's the cross. So I have reason to believe that this is going to be a class act.
All right, let's hear it.
Oh, no. Okay, so just made my first Measure Up intros. Hope you guys enjoy them. P.S. Sorry, Joe. You might not like these very much. Hail Hydra. I mean, Critter Groups. There's two here. I'm going to save them. I'm going to save one of them. But without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show.
It seems I'm having a system malfunction. I'm not programmed to introduce this part of the show. My software only recognizes critter groups as these listeners' favorite part of the show. Give me a call back if you'd like me to introduce that part of the show.
That was, man. Thematic. It was well produced. It was a horrifying display of election fraud, but also pretty good.
I think it was beautiful, perfect, practically perfect in every way. It was the Mary Poppins of Measure Up intros. Was not expecting that at all.
That was the voice of the Dominion voting machine.
I've not programmed to accept votes for your candidate. try the other one, please. That was great. Thank you so much.
That was good. Despite the fact
and
that,
also thank you for your vote of confidence. Hail critter groups.
Despite the fact that it was it's on the bad side of this debate. It was very good, and I can't wait to listen to the next one.
Yeah, I know. Goodness, I'm like, I'm giddy with anticipation.
Yeah.
For the
and
others.
I want to do this for everyone, but I'm gonna leave that. I'm not gonna listen to it until next week.
That had a very like portal, like GLaDOS portal feel. Like snarky robot. Love it.
Thank you, Chanel.
Thank
you. For a top-notch Measure Up intro. And by Chanel, I mean the robot that Chanel sent that.
Programmed to say that.
Yeah, programmed to say that.
The incredibly biased but also incredibly correct robot.
I have not heard anyone say they disliked or preferred. Oh, no. That's because they haven't heard it yet. So my computer has been destroyed, or the software decided like to forget how to turn on the computer. So I have not been able to upload the new Measure Up, the first one with the new Measure Up style. So this might... Uh-huh. Depending on what happens, if I fix my computer, this might be the first one people hear. So this is a new way to do Measure Up. We'll see if people like it. But the reason for it is because it's designed to make it so that Carlos has to do less head math. And we have to listen to less, like, us figuring out math. But, you can do head math at home if you'd like to pause. But without further ado, this. Let's talk about length. They're 33 to 42 centimeters or 13 to 17 inches. A Kaluga is the same length as a 0.028%, the Roman road Via Augusta. B, 12 peanut pods. Or C, 3% the length of the John Frost Bridge at Arnhem. I know you know what a peanut pod is. Are you familiar with Via Augusta or the John Frost Bridge at Arnhem?
No.
Do you know the Battle of Arnhem from World War II?
I'm not there yet in the podcast.
Okay, once you get there, you'll know. Learn about the John Frost Bridge.
Is it a bridge too far?
It is. That's that bridge.
Okay, then I do know that one. I am trying to use my fingers to measure what I think a peanut shell is. It's amazing how little I actually interact with peanut shells. Because you usually just get the peanuts and eat them out of the thing, but I don't actually like... So... I'm going to say peanut shells.
Final answer, B, 12 peanut pods?
Yeah, yeah.
The correct answer is A, 0.028. The Roman road via Augusta. The longest Roman road in Europe was the Via Augusta, stretching approximately 1,500 kilometers from the southwestern coastal city of Glades to the Pyrenees Mountains along the inland valleys parallel to the Mediterranean Sea coastline.
I thought it was the Appian Way, but I think that's the oldest one.
That's the second longest one, too.
No, I've walked along the Appian Way.
Wow.
So how big is a peanut shell? Is it like 2 inches long?
It was about 6 and change peanut pods that went into this.
Okay, yeah. So a little over 2 inches. I said 1.5. Peanut pods are bigger than I thought.
Sometimes I don't do the math on the ones that are not the right answer. I just like ballpark
it. You just make it up.
So I could accidentally get it right. Like it's also true. But not in this case. So let's talk weight. 0.9 to 1.3 kilograms or 2.0 to 2.9 pounds. Nearly 3 pounds. A colugo is the same weight as A, a soccer ball, B, a football helmet, or C, a hockey stick.
Sports.
The Panthers are in the in the Stanley Cup.
Be still my heart. My cup runneth over. Plus, at this point, I'm closer to the Tampa guys, the Lightning. Like in geography.
Like as the crow flies, I'm closer. Loyalty by childhood proximity.
Is that how that works?
To me, it is.
Seems random.
Choosing your favorite team is the essence of random. Unless you're, you know, you have a long line of very sad adults that love sports and a particular sport team.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it is like just choosing a team and sticking with it thick or thin. Because it kind of represents where you came from. I suppose. I don't know. Soccer ball, a hockey puck, a hockey stick.
And a football helmet.
And a football helmet. 3 pounds. Football helmet is probably heavier than a soccer ball. I'm going to go with a hockey stick. I don't know. Hockey stick. Final answer? Yep. That
is the one I would have chosen. But the correct answer is football helmet.
Ah.
A hockey stick is like 2 pounds or less. And a soccer ball is less. Football helmet is 3 to 5 pounds.
Yeah, I knew the soccer ball was the lightest one. 3 pounds seems like way too much for that.
The correct answer is B. A football helmet is around 3 to 5 pounds.
So if you put this lemur on your head, it's going to feel the same as if you put a football helmet on your head.
100% exactly one-to-one experience.
Mm-hmm. And the same amount of protection.
But that's all I got for that.
All right. You want to hear some fast facts before we get to the major fact?
Sure.
All right. The colugo, or this... The Sunda flying lemur, in particular, lives all throughout Southeast Asia. It gets its name from the Sunda shelf, which is a a geographic feature in Indonesia, Malaysia, and into Australia. So that kind of whole Southeast Asia part of the world. But it also extends to Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, Thailand, or Thailand, Malaysia, Thailand. Singapore, Indonesia, Southeast Asia, the rainforests of Southeast Asia, we'll call it that. It mainly eats leaves, but it also eats the shoots and flowers of plants. It eats fruit, sap, and occasionally insects. So technically omnivorous, but mostly herbivorous. The Sunda flying lemur is nocturnal. Comes out pretty much only at night, and likes to forage in the heights of the tree canopies in the rainforest. After mating, they have a 60-day gestation period, which means after mating, they take 60 days for the babies to be born. And I will leave it at that because I think the major fact is pretty cool.
Nice. Okay. I'm calling the major fact falling with style. The Sunda flying lemur is strictly arboreal, which means that it spends most, if not all, of its life in trees. Like, kind of like a squirrel. Not mm-hmm. unlike a squirrel. But maybe even more than a squirrel. Because I've seen some squirrels on the ground. In fact, some
ground squirrels
are ground squirrels.
Yeah.
In most active... it is most active at night, venturing out to feed on soft plant parts in trees as young leaves, shoots, flowers, and fruits. But even though it's a skilled climber, it becomes nearly helpless on the ground due to its specialized adaptations. So when it eats all of the young shoots and flowers and fruits on its tree and wants to get to the next tree, but does not want to flop around on the ground, what is it to do? It does not want to sully its paws on the earth below. So the colugo has a specialized adaptation called the, like you said, patagium. Patagium sounds right.
That sounds right.
This fantastic fully furred membrane extends from its neck along its limbs to the tip of its fingers, toes, and tail. So it's like
that sounded like an OxyClean commercial. Fantastic furry furred membrane.
Yeah. But so this thing is like it's fully, it goes all the way to the tail. It's like a full wingsuit. Almost. So, like, unlike a squirrel, which is just like it's the legs. The flying squirrel, it's a membrane that goes from leg to leg. This goes all the mm-hmm. way to the tail. So, when gliding, the patagium can extend up to about 70 centimeters or 27 inches with the help of an extensor muscle in the flank membrane. In the back of the membrane has a muscle in it that allows it to extend. And here's okay. a good part. What were you going to say about it being stretchy?
I was not going to say anything about it being stretchy.
It's a stretchy membrane. That's all you're going to say? That
was a membrane. I just said it stretched over their limbs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's stretchy and it stretches with the help of a muscle. Although it can't fly like a bird, it does not flap. This membrane allows it to glide skillfully from tree to tree. And it's like a kite shape because it goes to the tail. A kite or a shield or a kite shield, you might even say, mm-hmm. Shape that this takes when it's fully extended. And it allows it to glide over distances of up to 100 meters or 320 feet with very minimal loss of elevation. And I bet if there's an updraft, it might even gain elevation.
That's a good day for Kalugo.
Yeah.
That's when it goes home and tells its friends, like, I had a really good glide today.
So it's made for climbing and gliding, not for walking. So in order to facilitate that lifestyle, it can glide up to 328 feet. So that if you, where it lives in the rainforests of Southeast Asia, there's no tree that is not 328 feet from another tree. So it doesn't have to touch ground. It never has to touch grass. It's so basically it can be online scene.
To continue the sports analogy that I love so much, it can be clinging to the top of a goalpost at one end of a football field and glide and probably like hit the at least the like bottom portion of the other goalpost at the other end.
Yes. It depends on how minimal the elevation loss is.
Yeah, I guess. If it loses like 50 feet of elevation, it may not be able to.
Yeah, what does minimal mean? But 50 feet is not minimal when you're talking about tree to tree. But I would think that you're right, because trees and goalposts on average might be similar height. But it depends on the Malaysian or the Myanmar forests, how high those trees are.
Yeah. I'm seeing that the loss of elevation is less than 10 meters. So that's like about 33 feet. So that means that from the top of a goalpost could cling onto the bottom of the other one. Just
how
barely.
How tall is a football goalpost?
Probably less, probably more than 30 feet.
23.
No!
No, that's the width. It's exactly 30 feet height.
So he's going to land like just right on the ground in front of it. It does say fewer than 10 meters. So.
No, but remember, he has 23 extra feet. No. Goalpost to goalpost is more than 100 yards.
Oh, by a little bit.
Yeah. All right.
But it's a loss of fewer than 10 meters, so maybe on this particular glide, he only loses 7.
I'm not
meters.
A betting man, but I believe in him. I'd put $3 on this one.
I'd have to meet the Kalugo that was about to attempt the feat and see like if he has the chutzpah for it.
Yeah.
If he does, then I
Kalugo.
Yeah, I don't want a despondent or nihilistic Kalugo. I wouldn't bet on that one.
Okay, well, that's all I got. We've got 2 minutes. This new new measure up situation is efficient, too efficient, you might even say.
No, I think this is good. I think getting to 45 minutes because I spent all my time trying to remember how many inches are in a mile, or I can't remember how many pints go into a quart or something like that, then is an improvement to the listener experience.
There are some of these like are very striking to look at. If they're like bespeckled, like a baby deer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at one that actually has the same exact colors as a baby deer. Like that auburn brown with the white speckles.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cute. These are cute guys.
Unless it's flying over you and you see its underside.
Yeah, you're like, there's a facehugger in there. Now you're in aliens.
There's a picture here where, like, you're seeing the underside, and there is something clinging to its belly, and I don't know what it is, and it's disgusting.
I mean, it's young cling to its belly. Maybe that's it's
oh,
like a.
Oh, it is. You're right, but it's like fur color is like it makes it look like a poop on a tree.
What are we, animals?
Alrighty.
Yeah, well, that was the Sunda Flying Lemur, a.k.a. the Colugo. Although there are other Colugo species, just this is the only one in this genus. So, for you out there in podcast, yeah, be adorable. Hug a tree. And try to fly like an eagle. Like the Colugo here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we now have a Patreon. Patrons can see full video episodes and get shoutouts on the show. But ultimately, it's a way for you to help us cover some costs and get even better. Still, reviews are the best way to help us grow. So if you haven't left one yet, we'd really love to hear from you. As always, thanks for listening and engaging.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
You know, the young clinging to it when it flies is pretty pretty major, because it's got to cling to like the center, the perfectly balanced.